Vaccines have been rolled out, COVID-19 guidelines are changing, and there's tons of confusion. Let's talk about it more today on Robles Speaks. Welcome, bienvenidos. This is season 2 of Robles Speaks, the place where young people in our comunidad are coming together to have the most important conversations of our time. We're talking politics, culture, and everything in between. This is our forum, this up-and-coming generation. This is our forum. So if you want to come on the show, hit me up. I'm serious. So by this time, you've probably been vaccinated. You have family who has. And you probably haven't been vaccinated because you're worried about what the vaccine entails. You're also probably confused about these changing guidelines, right? Because so many people are getting vaccinated. The stores have now removed mask mandates. The CDC has now removed mask mandates. You don't have to wear a mask while you're outside. Only if you're double vaccinated. You've got the Moderna, the Pfizer, and the Johnson & Johnson. I got the Moderna vaccine. And I'll be honest, I was knocked out for 2 days. But you know what? I've got those COVID-19 antibodies in my system. I feel safe when I go out to eat. I'm able to hang out with my family like I haven't been able to before. And it was about a year before I was able to hug and kiss my Nana and Tata. I mean, it was sad. It really sucked, but they have the vaccine now. My whole family does. And now we're able to gather comfortably. And it was funny because one day my Nana called me and she's like, "Mijito, the guy in the Taco Bell drive-thru complimented my mask." And I was like, "Oh, really? What did it say? And why are you eating at Taco Bell?" And she was like, "It said all eyes on me." And I'm like, "Nana, send me a picture. I want to see the mask." And it was the album cover of the Tupac Shakur album, All Eyes on Me. And like, it was legit, the logo and everything. I was like, "Nana, that is dope." So let that be an anecdote for how life was. And we're slowly moving into a direction of what life could be if we're all vaccinated. And if you're anxious like me, to also get your friends, your familia, your primos, your cousins, your tios and tias vaccinated, go to vaxchallenge.com. That's vaxchallenge.com. You can create a super cool TikTok or video convincing people to get vaccinated. And you could get a chance. Once you submit a video, you get a chance of winning a Nintendo Switch, some AirPods, a Chromebook, some other super cool stuff. So go to vaxchallenge.com. I'm going to do it too. But getting back to the convo. So I know there's tons of confusion out there, which is why I called up Dr. Francisco Garcia. He's the chief medical officer for Pima County. Born and raised on the south side of Tucson. And super smart. He knows the facts. And I know there's been tons of conspiracy theories, but this conversation is going to be all about the facts. So I decided to call up a few young people here in our comunidad who have questions about all these changes, about the mask wearing, about vaccines, and about when we're supposed to be safe and feel safe. And so these questions came from their families, their friends, and I'm extremely certain that these questions are the same ones that you and your familia have too. So I want you to sit back, relax, enjoy this conversation because it's super informative and it's gonna help you feel safer. So let's get to that conversation with Dr. Garcia and the young people here in Pima County. You're listening to Robles Speaks.
Hello, I'm Fernanda Ruiz Martinez. I'm 19 years old and my pronouns are she, her, hers.
Hi, my name is Giselle Garcia. I am a 23-year-old and I go by she, they pronouns.
Hi, my name is Noah. I'm 20 years old and my pronouns are he, him.
Hey, my name is Francisco Garcia.
I am the Deputy County Administrator and Chief Medical Officer for Pima County. What that means is that I get the great job of overseeing everything that has to do with human health as well as human services. So everything from dog catching to the health department to behavioral health, to community workforce development, and to the medical examiner. So I have a really fun job that keeps me very busy.
Thank you for making the time to be with us to have this very important conversation, Dr. Garcia, because I know there's going to be plenty of young people wanting to know what's going on, especially with all these changes happening within the past few weeks. I know that Giselle has a very interesting question that I know many folks are have on their minds. Giselle, do you want to begin with your question?
Yeah, of course, I can begin. I work with Mi Familia Bota. I just want to give a little background. And something that we would do is answer calls from people during the pandemic that was going on. We would set them up for their vaccines, right? Or where they can get a vaccine, just give them the information where that can happen. And we would get a lot of multiple questions that the community would ask. And one of those was that I noticed a lot of people repeat was, how long does protection from a COVID-19 vaccine last? Because a lot of people are like, well, if it's gonna last three, 6 months, like I'd rather not get it, or things like that. So that was a question I would like a little clarification on.
Terrific. Well, Giselle, first of all, thank you for working for Mi Familia Bota. It's very, very important that our voices be heard through the political process. So I'm thankful for your contribution in that way. So, you know, one of the things that we have to be very honest about is that there are things that we know and there's things that we don't know. And we know today that the vaccines that are available generate a human immune response that lasts a long time. How long is that? It probably lasts at the very, very least a whole year. But the truth is that it probably lasts a lot longer than that. But we won't know that for a little while. If you'll recall, the vaccine was relatively recently developed, right? So the people who were in the original clinical trials haven't been out that far. And so it has not been possible to challenge their immune systems to see if they will continue to have the same high levels of protection. One thing I can tell you honestly is that similar vaccines, think about HPV, think about measles or pertussis, have multi-year protection. So a young woman or a young man who receives an HPV vaccine, when they've completed their course of vaccination, is essentially protected for their life, certainly their reproductive life. So we believe that that's also the way that this vaccine will work. And I think that it's really important to get whatever vaccine you can get your hands on into your arm as soon as possible.
Thank you, Dr. Garcia. Noah put together some pretty substantive questions, and I want to get to him. Noah, please ask your first question, please.
Yeah, so I'll be frank. I just looked up what happened. I saw that there was a meeting going on today with the mayor, and I saw that we've in the city of Tucson, we've officially rescinded our mask mandate. So, like, private businesses don't have to wear masks. We don't have to wear masks basically in public. It's just kind of doing whatever we want now. And I'm wondering, I feel like this is super premature. The numbers I've heard thrown around for herd immunity are around 80 to 90% immunization or vaccination. But right now, only 33% of all Arizonans, last I checked, were vaccinated. And the one that really concerns me, the other metric, is 40% of Americans say they will not get the vaccine due to, you know, misinformation claims that are just running rampant. So I'm wondering, what's the thought process behind lifting the mask mandates now across Pima County and Tucson, given that the numbers don't look like they're correct? Like, just yesterday, we had 600 new cases in Arizona.
So, Noah, a couple of things to think about. First of all, let's make sure that you, that everybody is clear that, that, you know what, I will not speak for the city. So my job is to safeguard the health and well-being of the county, and I work for the county. But you're absolutely right. We did take a similar action. We actually did that on Friday. The reason that we took that action is because the Centers for Disease Control had said, had issued a statement on Wednesday saying that individuals who are vaccinated did not need to wear masks, did not need to physically distance, whether they were in private or whether they were in public. That was the principal reason. Now, you are correctly bringing up a couple of things, but I want to make sure that you have the right facts. So first of all, herd immunity is not an on or off switch. And we don't have a precise number at which we know herd immunity comes into play. For instance, for measles, you need to have 90%+ of the population to be immunized in order to achieve herd immunity. For other infectious diseases, it can be as low as 50% and 60%. Now, we estimate that for coronavirus and related viruses, that we need at least 70% of the population to be either naturally immune because they've experienced the disease or immunized. I can tell you that in Pima County today, if you go to the CDC COVID data tracker, it will tell you that more than 50% of the population in Pima County who is 18 years of age or older has received their complete course of vaccination, has received both doses if they were getting Moderna and Pfizer, or one dose if they got Janssen. So that's a ton of people, right? 50%. But you're right, that doesn't put us at the 70, magical 70, 75% I talked about. But remember that in our community here in Southern Arizona, and in Pima County in particular, we've also had a lot of people who have been impacted by COVID infection during the last 12 months. I can tell you, because I have to look at these data every single day, that there were days, there were weeks in January when we had several thousand cases of COVID. And therefore, the combination of folks who are immunized and folks who've had an infection previously, I think it's us pretty darn close. Now, the more important thing is, what does it mean to you and to me? Well, you know, when the CDC says that it's okay to take off your mask, it doesn't say that it's okay to be stupid. It's important for people to take common sense precautions, especially if they are not immunized. If folks are not immunized, and there's still a lot of young folks in your age demographic that have not been immunized, if folks have not been immunized, it is really critical for those individuals to be wearing face mask coverings, to make sure that they're at least 6 feet from others, to make sure that they are avoiding being in the workplace or school when they are ill, and being around people who are sick. So those kinds of things are just kind of the way that we need to live our lives today. If you happen to be immunized, and fully immunized means having had your single dose of the Janssen or Johnson & Johnson vaccine, or your two doses of either Moderna or Pfizer, and then waited 2 weeks after that second dose, that's when we're considered fully immunized. In those situations, you're actually probably okay to be out in public without a mask. So I know it feels like a big change. I gotta tell you, it makes some of us feel naked when we're out and about, but I do think that it probably was the right call.
So Dr. Garcia, I'm 20 years old. I'm not 21, but if I was old enough to drink and I have both vaccinations, am I safe to go out to High Wire on a Friday night and get those Mongo shots? Or well, should I hold off?
If you've gotten both shots, you are safe to be in a social environment that is relatively densely packed with people. I'm not going to say it's okay to have a mango shot.
Thank you. And just to be clear for all of our listeners, when you say Pima County, we're talking everywhere from Ajo, Arizona, to Tucson, to Vail, to Oro Valley. Is that correct?
Correcto. So we live in a wonderful place that the rest of the country doesn't know about. That's the size of the state of New Hampshire, that has the longest international boundary of any county in the United States, that has an incredibly diverse population with politically diverse, racially diverse, ethnically diverse. We're talking about all of Pima County.
All right. Very interesting. And I know Fernanda has some questions regarding the mask wearing. Fernanda, could you ask Dr. Garcia your question?
Following up with what you just said regarding like people not wearing masks anymore. So if it's not no longer going to be required in an establishment or city, how does someone who wants to still wear a mask protect themselves from those who don't want to? Like, I know like being smart about it, but like, how can we talk with those people who don't want to wear it and they, you know, don't make us feel intimidated?
Fernanda, super buena pregunta. So this is the way to think about it. First of all, understand that when the CDC or Pima County or the city says that you don't have to wear a mask, it doesn't necessarily mean that an individual establishment, a business, your hair salon, the place where you shop for clothes, the place where you shop for groceries, they can still require whatever it is that they need to in order to keep their employees and their customers safe. And what you're seeing is that a lot of businesses, a lot of restaurants, continue to ask people to wear masks up until the time that they get seated. You're seeing that a lot of businesses, not all of them, right? A lot of businesses are saying people should continue to wear masks when they're on their premises. The county, you'll see that in our lobbies, we're still asking people to wear masks. Unless we get a V tattooed on our forehead at the time that we're masked, at the time that we get vaccinated, it will be impossible for you or I to know who's vaccinated from who is not. It is really important to understand kind of that limitation, because sometimes people get grumpy. Why is that lady wearing a mask? Or why is that kid wearing a mask? Well, there are a variety of reasons. That individual may be too young to be vaccinated, right? Like a little kid in school. That lady may be immunosuppressed. She might be recovering from chemotherapy or a bone marrow transplant. And even though she's immunized, her immune system is not as good as yours or mine. There are a lot of reasons for people to continue to wear a mask. One of the things that we have experienced this year, precisely because of the mask wearing and the physical distancing, is that actually our numbers of flu are way down compared to previous years. So wearing masks, something that we haven't done in this country very much, is actually made a difference for that. So there are a lot of good reasons to wear a mask is the bottom line, and you should just own it and do it proudly.
Thank you, Dr. Garcia. Noah, I believe you have another question.
Well, since actually you answered kind of another one of my questions, I want to ask another one, kind of expand a little bit, because my dad asked me this question personally. What should people who have had COVID do at this point? So this obviously didn't happen to me, but hypothetically, let's pretend that I had COVID in January, right? I threw a birthday bash, I got sick. At this point, should I be vaccinated? Can I act like a fully vaccinated person? When should I get vaccinated? Should I get vaccinated?
All of them really good questions, Noah. So we'll start with the easy ones, right? So when someone is diagnosed with COVID, if they are symptomatic, if they are having coughing, fever, chills, body aches, if they are symptomatic, they should not be vaccinated until their symptoms have resolved. You don't have to be 90 days from your diagnosis, but you have to be well enough for at least a week before you get vaccinated, right? So yes. we do ask you about whether you have COVID, and if you have active COVID, we're going to say come back when you're feeling better. Number two, if you've had COVID, like in the long past, like say your dad, you still need to get vaccinated, and I'll tell you why. When we pick up an infection naturally, we call them wild type viruses. When we pick up an infection in nature, whether it is the common cold, which is also caused by the coronavirus, or another respiratory infection, our body does mount an immune system reaction, and it builds antibodies, and it creates this thing called cellular immunity. Primes the cells of your body to fight off this offender, right? But when you actually get a COVID immunization, when you actually get a vaccine against a virus, your body's reaction to it is way off the charts in terms of the intensity of antibody production and cell-mediated immunity reaction. So it's like you got COVID on steroids. And so that's how come some people say that some people will say, I had COVID and getting my shot was kind of reliving that again. They'll say they have body aches or have fever. Some people do, some people don't, right? But it's like COVID on steroids. So yes, your dad should be vaccinated again because he'll get that much more protection from them. Because remember, when you get a COVID vaccine, it's not like you're getting like a, you know, impenetrable shield. It doesn't make you a superhero. If there is enough active COVID in an environment, because you're around so many people who are so sick and shedding so much virus, it can overwhelm your immune system. So you want to have a really, really strong immune response. And the best way of doing that is through immunization. That's also part of the reason why I say that when we talk about community immunity, I don't like to use the term herd immunity. When we talk about community immunity, I really look at how many people have been vaccinated as my starting point. And everything on top of that is a little bit of gravy.
Oh, I'll clarify real quick. My dad didn't get COVID. It's his coworkers insist that they don't need to get it. My dad, fully vaccinated, me too. We never had COVID.
Good, good.
Yeah, I did an antibodies test in January because my whole family had it in December. We stayed quarantined. I felt fine, and now I know why, because I had that immunity. And when I got the vaccine, I was down and out for 2 days on both doses. You know, I'm lucky I had my Nana make me sopita and everything. And, you know, it's hopefully we need more people getting the vaccine. And Fernanda has another question, Dr. Garcia.
Okay, last question for me. So this comes from parents and family. They said, so the COVID-19 vaccination record, is that something that would be required prior to enrollment in a school or college? What did you expect?
Super great question. So first off, I'm going to tell you what I believe, because this is not an area that's settled, right? So I don't believe that it's good to shame people, right? And so I think that requiring a COVID passport is proof of immunization, carrying it around your neck or getting it tattooed on your shoulder. I mean, you do whatever it is that you want to do. But I don't think that it helps us achieve the goal of getting a lot of people, even some people who are a little grumpy, who might not think this is such a great thing, even getting some of them vaccinated on the down low. So I think that there are many colleges and universities that are considering instituting policies that say, if you haven't been vaccinated, or you have to show proof of vaccination in order to return to school. That's not widespread yet, although there are a couple large colleges and universities that are doing something like that. We do know that as we travel internationally, being able to document your COVID vaccine status may become more important. Most countries, it is not something that it's being asked for. But I am telling everybody that they should hold on to their card, hold on to that documentation, because you may need it in the future. So bottom line is, no sé, we'll see what the future holds.
And now that we're on the topic of schools and vaccinations, the semester is just wrapping up. I believe we have two Wildcats and two Sun Devils on this call. And I believe you're a Wildcat as well, Dr. Garcia.
Yeah.
How should we expect schools to function this upcoming fall in terms of maybe capacity and social distancing? I'm assuming they're going to make us wear our masks during class. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I don't know what the schools, it depends on a couple of things, right, Patrick, Mina? Mm-hmm. So it depends on a couple of things. So if we can get everybody vaccinated, and everybody is hitting that magical, in my brain, 75% mark, if we can get everybody vaccinated, we have a near normal fall semester, I believe. I do think that you're going to see schools implement restrictions that really continue to do like health monitoring and wellness checks so that people are conscientious, right? So they think twice about going in if they might have a fever. So I do think that those kinds of measures are going to be in place. I do think that during the respiratory virus season, during the winter, you'll likely see people pull out masks again. I don't know that it's going to necessarily be required, but I bet you it's going to be encouraged. And really, it's one of those things where it's better to not to speculate, but to anticipate that. In the same way, you guys are too young remember the Twin Towers and 9/11, but I was in the air on 9/11, and I remember. After I touched down, I remember thinking nothing will ever be the same. And it hasn't been, right? It really transformed the way that we do transportation. I think you can expect this pandemic to transform the way that we interact with each other. I think you can expect it to transform the way that we interact in workplaces and in schools. But the bottom line is, if we can get people vaccinated, teachers, that's why teachers were our priority. Now students, if we can get folks vaccinated, I think we'll be in good shape.
All right, thank you. And then we'll go to Noah, and then one last question, and we'll call it a night. Noah, what's your question?
This is kind of a more broad question, but what do you think is coming for the future? As we've gone over, you know, we have 50% of Arizonans vaccinated. We're looking for maybe 70-75%, so we're not far off. It sounded worse when I was doing a little bit of, you know, Google research earlier, but I'm glad that I have the better numbers now, especially with, you know, the immunity given. How's the outlook look? Do you expect another wave, or do you think that we might just be starting to break through and get to the okay part?
So, Noah, your numbers were correct for the state, by the way. Pima County is doing better than the states. Pima County is doing better than the nation.
When are we?
I think that people in Pima County have taken this seriously. People, whether it's in Tucson or in South Tucson, whether it's in our rural areas, people have taken it seriously. And we are performing better in terms of vaccination than the rest of the state and the rest of the county. So your numbers actually were right on target for the state. They were not there. They are not on target for the city and, well, the county. But I think you ask a really good question is, you know, what does the future hold, right? And what is it that we can expect? Well, one of the reasons that I'm really anxious about making sure that especially your age demographic gets vaccinated right now, is that we have seen a couple of variants emerge. Now, all viruses mutate, every single one of the viruses. If you ever had warts on your hands, that's a type of human papillomavirus. And those viruses, just like any other virus, mutates. So does the coronavirus. So the problem is that some of the mutations can make them more infectious. That is, more likely for you to catch it when you're around people who have it. And some of the mutations actually can be more deadly. Now, the most common mutations that we have in the United States and in Arizona today and in Pima County today is the B117 or so-called UK variant. And that variant seems to be susceptible to the current vaccine. It seems to, and so does the P1 variant, the so-called Manaus or Brazilian variant. Both of them appear to be susceptible to the current vaccines. But what starts getting a little bit scarier is some of the new variants that are emerging. I don't know that we know exactly how it will react to the new B1 variant that's been identified in India. The South African variant also looks a little bit scarier than the others. So that's why we need to have some sense of urgency. That's why you can't wait for the fall to get vaccinated, because the horse will be out of the barn by the fall in terms of these variants. So the sooner that we get people vaccinated before these variants get hold, the more likely it is that you and your friends and your classmates and your peers are going to be protected. So I'll leave you with that thought.
All right, hear that, everybody. Get vaccinated. It is super important. One last question. We've been having our carne asadas now that we have about 95% of our family vaccinated. But we have two little cousins who aren't 12 years old yet and who can't get the vaccine. Is it safe for them to come around and go out and wear their mask or what?
The question isn't about whether it's safe, but whether more, how safe is it, right? All of us, every day when you walk into your office, when you walk into your school, or when you get in your car, you take certain calculated risks. The moment you turn on that engine and you start driving down the street, you are taking calculated risks. The question is the risk too much or is it tolerable? And I believe where we are in terms of vaccination, that it probably is a tolerable level of risk, especially if everybody around the children are vaccinated. I'm an OBGYN by training, and in when we care for pregnant women, there are a lot of things that pregnant women can't do, right? Although, by the way, COVID vaccination is one of the things that we recommend for pregnant women, but pregnant women can't receive certain types of vaccines. And so what we do is called ring vaccination. We vaccinate her partner, we vaccinate her mother, we vaccinate the people who are going to be around that child and that woman in order to protect the child and the woman, because they might not be able to receive the vaccine. That's how we need to think about it. The same thing with our vulnerable people, right? Where we have people who are immune suppressed, we have people who are just not well, and may not be protected by a vaccine. And we need to, this is part of our contract with each other to protect each other. And I think if you think about it that way, it might make a little bit more sense.
Thank you so much, Dr. Garcia, for that extremely helpful conversation and for the way you ended that. Quite frankly, it was a call to action for people to care about people, right? That at the end of the day, I'm getting vaccinated so that you don't get sick, and you're getting vaccinated so that I don't get sick, so that we don't spread the disease. I also want to thank Giselle, Noah, and Fernanda for their great questions. They really led this conversation. And I feel safer and much more knowledgeable because of their questions. And I'm sure you do too. So if you want to get your vaccine, go to pima.gov. Do it for your familia. Do it for your friends. And do it so that we can get back to normal. I bought tickets to Bad Bunny. I want to see Bad Bunny. I bought tickets to The Weeknd. I want to go see The Weeknd. So I really appreciate y'all tuning in. We've got music being produced for this podcast by Soul God, a local indigenous artist. All the beats you've heard on this podcast, besides the Tupac and Gasolina beat, was Soul God. So, credit to him. Stay tuned, everybody. There's much more where this came from. This is season 2 of Robles Speaks.